Paramania Radio.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Paramania, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
The sun goes down, the stars come out, and all that counts is here and now. My universe will never be the same. I'm glad you came. I'm glad you came.
You are listening to Paramania Radio.
This chap is obviously a charlatan. I suggest we move on to a less...
Don't you disrespect me, little man. Don't you derogate or deride. You're in my world now, not your world. Friends on the other side. That's a nickel, gentlemen. Just a little something we have here in Louisiana. A little parlor trick, don't worry. Sit down at my table. Put your mind at ease. If you relax, it will enable me to do anything I please. I can read your future. I can change it around some too. I look deep into your heart and soul. You do have a soul, don't you, Lawrence? Make your wildest dreams come true. I got voodoo, I got hoodoo, I got things I ain't even tried. And I got friends on the other side.
He's got friends on the other side.
The cards, will tell. The past, the present, and the future as well. The cards. The cards. Just take three. Take a little trip into your future with me. Now you young man are from across the sea. You come from two long lines of royalty. I'm a royal myself on my mother's side. Your lifestyle's high, but your funds are low. You need to marry a little honey whose daddy got dough. Mom and dad cut you off, huh, playboy?
Sad but true.
Now y'all gotta get hitched, but hitching ties you down. You just wanna be free, hop from place to place. But freedom takes green. It's the green, it's the green, it's the green you need. And when I looked into your future, it's the green that I see. On you, little man, I don't want to waste much time. You've been pushed round all your life. You've been pushed round by your mother and your sister and your brother. And if you was married, you'd be pushed round by your wife. But in your future, the you I see is exactly the man you always wanted to be. Shake my hand. Come on, boys. Won't you shake a poor sinner's hand? Yeah.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. And I think summer has finally arrived. Well, for 3 days. I said it's going to pour down the rain again on Wednesday. But it's always sun shining when I'm on Paramania Radio and with my incredible great friend, Bishop David Parry. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Alan. I'm not in a happy mood, and the sun is definitely not shining here, even though it's in the sky.
All right, okay. Never mind. It's a very fraught time because we've got 2 weeks exactly, basically, to go, haven't we? Until the opening night of Shakespeare tonight at the Technis Theatre in Camden Town in London, 1st of August to the 6th of August. Go to shakespeare.co.uk or the Camden Fringe box office or the Technis box office and book your tickets for an incredible show. There's an early plug there, David.
Yeah, and a good plug. So I'm sure people will have a wonderful time, but they've got to remember this is the time of grinding the director into the dust. So this production is managing to do it in abundance.
Well, expression, it's all right in the night, well, it's got to be, isn't it?
Well, yes, or there'll be 7 dead actors by next Tuesday.
We have enough mass murders in America without...
Not nearly enough in theatre.
Where are you starting around London, David?
Well, no court in the land would convict me of anything.
No, I think you're probably right. This Thursday I've got the last of the interviews with the actors with from 9 till 10 with Peter Revel Walsh.
Peter's playing Shakespeare. I mean, he's a very experienced and skilled actor.
Yeah, indeed. And then I'm following it with Michael David Roberts from the Cake production. So there's all the early promotions put out.
Gosh, that was slick.
Oh dear. Poor Grey, when on Friday night for my musical memories, David, he'd broken his glasses and he couldn't read the screen, so Karen was doing it for him. I know what that's like. I had 2 pairs and they both broke within about 10 days of each other, so I do understand what that's like. Now, you don't realise how much you just take things for granted sometimes, you know.
Oh, no, everything's a blessing in life, and everything's a gift.
Yeah. So, today, we've got Susan Griffiths as our guest, and Susan yourself. We're going to talk about this, hopefully, when Susan does come on in about 5 or 6 minutes' time, because it's really weird. I was communicating with Susan. She'd given me the wrong phone number, tried to ring her, couldn't get her. Then she realised she'd made a mistake, gave me the right number, said I'd ring her in a couple of days. Then I went to ring her. All our communications, everything, email, everything had just disappeared, gone. And I had to ask you for her email address, David.
Yeah, odd, very strange. Well, these things happen, don't they, Alan?
They do. But, you know, it makes you wonder with the gremlins, doesn't it? You know, the way they get in sometimes. I call them the gremlins.
I must say something about Susan. I mean, we've had her on THA Talks. She's known in spiritualism. Remember, I'm never sure... Even now, I suppose, how far I'm a sort of member of the paranormal community. I mean, so I don't always know the gossip. I don't always know, you know, who's in and who's out and who's doing what to who when it comes to the paranormal. So I know Susan is highly thought of in spiritualism. And she said something to me when I was talking about A Psychic Space the other day, which is one of her new projects, and I'm hoping that both you and Johan Alstad will get involved in the writing side of that. I think that would be very exciting, but obviously that's between you two and her. I don't always know what the gossip is, but I know in spiritualism, as I say, she's considered a very gifted medium and very sensible, and she left me a funny message saying she was pleased I'd picked up on the sensible bit, and people were saying she was too sensible. and she needed to weird out a bit. Oh, no, no, I think spiritualism's got too much of that. But again, I don't know if that's what paranormal people want. So.
Well, I think it's a fine line between spiritualism, shall we say, and the paranormal. Obviously, they do link, but people, shall we say, who are into what we're into, David, have a different take on it than what the people in the paranormal community have on it, which is fine. I mean, because when it comes down to it, there has to be a link somewhere, because if you're dealing with spirit in whatever form, if you want to use that expression, there has to be a crossover at some point. It's just about how far you want to take it, I suppose, you know.
I think there is a different emphasis. I mean, for once I'm going to say something nice about the SNU. You know, they consider spiritualism a philosophy and a religion, and I think that they score 100% on both of those claims. Therefore, they wouldn't say it's a form of entertainment. And certainly the way a great many people in the paranormal community refer to our beloved ancestors, I find absolutely horrific. And, you know, so there. We need the crossover. We've also got to remember there are profound differences. That's important too, I think.
From my own perspective, with my radio shows, I'm quite happy to, you know, support and have be a kind of a bridge. But with the work that I do, I don't see the paranormal as, to me, as an entertainment, and I don't see it as something that I feel I want to get really into. But I totally respect everybody who does that work, you know, for the right reasons. But you know, that's that's where I stand, basically, you know.
Oh, don't get me wrong, Alan. I never sure if you're a paranormal person. You know, I mean, you're the acceptable professional side of it all. All right, here we get mutual backslapping again. But why not? Why not? You know, but some of the things, you know, because I dip into it. I don't, you know, I'm not really part of it. In one sense, you know, some of the things I've seen. I remember one thing that horrified me most a year or so ago on Huff Paranormal. And Huff, Steve Huff, I think, is an incredibly good performer, and that's not to say he's not genuine. I mean, it really looks as though he is. And, you know, I think there's something genuinely hypnotic about his programs on YouTube, and I can't work out what it is. But, you know, sort of these wonderful kaleidoscopic views of life over in Texas, and, you know, just, anyway, something good. But he was interviewing somebody. Because apparently there are all these sort of apps and electronic boxes and what have you to allegedly speak with those that have passed. So already I've got all sorts of problems with that, but at least they're only theoretical problems. This interviewee had constructed a silver skeleton with flashing red eyes and put one of these boxes in it and was speaking to the other side, although they were dogs or animals, answer this, get that, respond now. I was thinking, my heavens, is this how we see our ancestors now? Either it's a form of rather tasteless entertainment, or it just shows the level to which we've all sunk. And one of my own criticisms of the paranormal community is it really has to decide what it is. Is it a form of entertainment, which is fine? Is it a form of investigation, which is also fine, but not the same? You know, so where is it going? What's it trying to do?
Well, what you just said there about, you know, speak now and that, I see people in spirit and show them the respect as if we're talking to each other down on this earthly plane. There's no need to be... shall we say, authoritative with it. Yes, you know, okay, you want some kind of a communication. But if I was there in spirit and I was being talked to like that, you know, that they could whistle for their conversation, but that's just me.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think there are, you see, there are deeper issues involved here. I mean, the lack of respect we show each other on this plane is phenomenal. But, you know, we're all the sanctity of passing on and passing over and spirit seems to be missing. I remember something a Russian Orthodox priest told me years ago. Respect every member of your family. There may be saints in your family that you don't know. And that struck me as heavenly. Well, that's such a beautiful thing to say. But, you know, I mean, it's all the pressures and the media. We've no respect for anyone here or there nowadays. And I don't know, I just think all this endless need to provoke that and pursue that is going in the wrong direction, and we end up with a feeling of sanctity over nothing.
I think it's time that we got our guest, Susan. She's in the chat room.
Yeah.
Hi, Susan.
Yeah.
So what I am going to do is play One Day at a Time and hopefully be able... I think that's very appropriate for what we were talking about at the beginning of the show, David. One Day at a Time. And then we'll hopefully have Susan with us. Speak after this.
Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day. I'm just a woman. Help me believe in what I could be and all that I am. Show me a stairway that I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Oh, do you remember when you walked among men? Well, Jesus, you know, if you're looking below, that it's worse now than then. Oh, there's pushing and shoving, and it's crowding my mind. So, Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking of you. Just give me the strength to do everything what I have to do. Be mine.
Lord, help me today. Show me the way, one day at a time. Lord, help me today. Show me the way, one day.
It, curl it, find it, view it, code it, jump and lock it, surf it, scroll it, pose it, click it, cross it, crack it, twitch, update it, name it, read it.
If you want to learn about how paranormal investigators use technology, what we use, and how it works, then check out Tech Time with Brock and Doc every Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, only on the Paramania Radio Network.
And welcome back to Sunday Morning Spiritual, and I'm really glad to say we've got our guest Susan Griffiths with us. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
And David's there as well, aren't you, David?
I think so. There's something playing up with this. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning, David.
Right. It's definitely turning into one of those weekends for me. A pleasure to have a fellow spiritualist on the programme, Susan.
Thank you, thank you. We're not often seen in areas of technology, but we're winning.
We're getting there. Well, so, I mean, you know, it's been one of my dreams to get you two together for some time now. What do you make of that for Machiavellian and plotting, Alan?
That sounds all right to me, David. Anybody who sounds like my beautiful, lovely daughter-in-law is all right with me, no problem. So I just said off air, when I said hello to Susan, I was quite shocked because she actually sounded like Samantha Sam, my daughter-in-law in Eastbourne. It was quite peculiar. a lovely peculiar. Yeah, indeed, very much so. What do you make of the fact that it's been so hard for you and I to communicate, Susan?
Sometimes I don't think I'm a bit of a... I have a struggle with technology anyway, so I sometimes wonder if someone having a bit of a laugh with me.
Yes.
Because I don't seem to do it. And I think sometimes things are... I know there's no such thing as coincidences.
No, there's...
In spiritual, there's a reason for it all. I don't know, sometimes, I don't know, when I typed my original phone number in, I thought, that doesn't feel right, but of course I ignored that, because you do think that, you think, oh no, I better recorrect that. I don't know, sometimes it's just one of those things that do happen.
Can I just say something?
That's just to test your resolve.
Yeah, can I just say something? Check your website, because I actually rung it second time off your website, and I still got... You've dialed an incorrect number, so just check your website.
I will do.
Right. Because there might have been thousands of people trying to get in touch with you and thinking, what's going on here?
It could have been. Could stardom have missed me?
You never know. So, how did your interest in involvement with spirit come about?
Like many mediums, I'd always been a bit strange as a child. You would have had that extra sense, as I called them then, dead people.
Yeah.
There was something else. You could sense there were people, other people in the room, and I didn't like it. And when I started to speak about it, it was all hushed up. Shut up, what you're talking about, no one liked it. So I learned to close it down. So that was a very good lesson in closing down. And then I got to my late 20s.
Can I just interrupt? I'm sorry, Susan. Can I just interrupt you? Have you got something on in the background?
I think I might have.
Yeah, it's right. Okay, please, if you don't mind.
If I close that down.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. Yeah, we're
done. We're back.
We're back. We're okay. That's lovely. Thank you. Yep. Right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to stop you in mid-flow, but it was very distracting.
That's all right. No.
Yeah. So other people, basically you was keeping quiet about what was going on with you.
Yes, I mean, people, I suppose I was only about 5 or 6, and me going on about some relative who'd passed 10 years ago and they were in the living room probably didn't go down very well.
Right. No.
you know, probably didn't go down as well as it as I thought it would, because I honestly thought everybody could do it.
Yeah.
Everybody could sit. Anyway, I got to my late 20s. I didn't like it. I learned to close it down, and it all disappeared, which I actually was really pleased about. And I got to my late 20s, and life started to go wrong. I had a friend who wanted to go to a spiritualist church, which I didn't want to go to at all. And I was dragged along there. And she had all the messages and I didn't, because I was quite... But part of me thought, I really don't want to be here.
Yeah.
And then she stopped going, and it was carrying this along. And I sat on the sofa one night and thought, oh, they've walked back in.
Nice.
So I thought, oh, they're back. So I decided to go to the spiritualist church, and then I was given lots of messages came through, and it said you were going to be a platform medium. So I decided to put paid to that very quickly by putting myself forward to go on the platform. It was only about...
Oh, hello.
I think we've lost Susan.
I think she's gone. I will just quickly see if I can get her back.
You know, that's such a typical story for a spiritualist, Alan.
It is, isn't it? Very much.
Yeah,
so.
You know, sort of the grappling with the whole phenomena. That's so interesting.
And I'm back.
Yeah, you're back.
Sorry, Archibald Montgomery jumped on the keyboard.
Oh, is that the cat? Is it?
Cat.
I love it. Actually, there won't be any problems there, because Dr. Dave Erickson, who's part owner of this radio station, is mad about cats. So we've got no problem there.
It was too quick for me there. So I went on the platform with the sole intention to fail.
Right.
And I thought, I won't be able to do it. It will fail, and I can walk away. And that's over 20 years ago. I didn't fail, much to my surprise. And since then, I've just honed my craft, if you like.
That's wonderful. Isn't it strange, though, Susan, when you start on this path, whatever age, I mean, it happened to you as a child, me, later in life, in my 40s. But once you're on the path, even if you think to yourself, I don't want to be... you still are, and you kind of, in a nice way, you can't escape it, because it's...
No, then you don't want to escape it. The visual reaction, you think, oh, I'm quite like it now. Yeah. I think I'll stay put. Yeah.
That's right. It is bizarre. So I totally understand that. You know, when I decided to live my life through spirit, we went through a lot of financial headaches, and every time I thought, no, I've got to go back and do an ordinary job, amazingly, work would come in, and it was like saying, no, you're not going anywhere, you're not going to give this up.
No, once they've got you, they've got you. That's what I say.
Yeah. How do you see that, David? I mean, because I know your life is totally different to Susan's and mine, but you kind of, you're always, shall we say, on the edge of it, aren't you?
Mm. Mm. Yes, I've got to try and get over my grumpiness this morning. I confess I'm grumpy. Oh, gosh. Yeah, I mean, I think mediums are born. I think everybody, everybody's got a quotient of mediumship, ability to channel, forgive me. But you know, it's like having a big body or a strong body or a small body or a fat body. You know, we're all different. Some people have natural propensities in a particular direction. I think that's probably the origin of priesthood. You know, the tribal shaman, the tribal medium would have been the priest if you were looking back in prehistory. I think the spirits, they don't want the world to be a temple. The more I think about that, the more convinced I am of it. But they do want people pursuing their own life paths, whatever that is. I've been fascinated by both of your stories, you know that. And yet, there are certain marks to mediumship. There are certain marks the spirit leaves on people. It wants to do certain things. And I think the common denominator between all three of us, who have taken very different routes, is that spirit was seeking that in some way. You know, get up and do this. What are you waiting for? So getting to know you, Susan, and you, Alan, I mean, it's just a confirmation, I think, for me, that spirit's so active in the world, and so, you know, it wants results. It's quite fascinating.
It is, actually. And I think we're going through some very, very challenging times at the moment. And when the world is going through such awful times, I think it's then that people are looking for alternative answers. And people kind of do turn to spirit in whatever form or another. Would you agree with that, Susan?
I think they do. I certainly think people makes people think more, because
yes.
as it like when everything's going well, it's probably not top of your thought pattern. But when you see what's going on in the world and your own personal experiences, then people do start to think more. Is there more to life than what I see at the moment? And
yes.
the answer, of course, is yes, there is. But people. Agree with David, everybody finds their own path there. You can't say, well, you have to do it this way or you have to do it that way. Because you can't. We're all so unique.
Mm.
We have to find our own way and have our own experiences. So it does, yes, I do definitely think people do think more about spirit, perhaps about their own lives, where they're heading, what they want to be. Because spirit, I do believe, again, is around us. It's very fluid. It's a very positive energy. Some people see it perhaps as a bit of a frightening energy, but it's actually a very positive, loving, compassionate energy that is designed, I think, that we tap into it to help us be our best.
Do you still work with spiritualist churches, Susan?
I do. I keep my hand in. Yes, I do.
And any particular group or...?
No, I just travel round. I probably do my local one more because I'm a bit lazy, but I travel round. Yes.
I like that.
You've all got eyes. I mean, you've never really gone down that route, Alan. I mean, you know, you obviously live very strongly a life by spirit.
Yes.
But you know, I guess it's interesting. You never really felt called in that particular direction.
No, I've only ever been to a spiritualist church, the one the nearest to us in Bloxwich, once. When a client, he wanted desperately to get some messages, and I reluctantly agreed to go with him. And I always remember it was packed. I don't know how many was there. I mean, it's quite a big church, and there was, I'm only guessing, there must have been well over 100 people there, probably a lot more than that. And we was about three rows from the back, not because we were trying to hide. That was, by the time we got there, that's where the seats were. And I don't even know who the lady was on stage, and she pointed to the back, and this guy I was with, he says me, he says no, the man sitting next to you, which is me, and she poured out all these messages, which made total sense to what was going on at the time, and I thought, well, yeah, that's and he wasn't very happy that, you know, the messages he was looking for never came, but obviously I was meant to go for that. But no, I've never been called to do that at all, and I just don't feel drawn to it. So, you know, but I think that's what happened that day. It was meant for me. I was reluctantly dragged along, and now I understood why afterwards. But spirit can be, shall we say, devious in some ways, in a good way, to get somebody somewhere where they want them, even if they don't want to be there.
That, yes.
You've hit the nail on the head there. I mean, you know, when it says in the good book, you know, the spirit, you know, God moves in mysterious ways, that's what it means.
Yeah.
You know, the spirit is looking for us, and it will do everything it can to open us up and make us flower and prosper. You know, so and you two are perfect examples of that in my mind.
Oh yes, spirit are very clever.
Yeah.
They are very clever, and how their best bit is making us them think that things are our ideas. I mean, really, it's part of the plan.
Yeah.
It is. And I know people, regular listeners might get fed up with me saying this, but one of my favourite things I say is that man has his plans and God laughs at them.
And I think exactly.
There's a lot of truth to that, I think.
There is indeed.
So, yeah, I mean, you have kind of always been on the fringe of it, haven't you, David, throughout your life, really. You kind of, all the people, well, majority of the people that you know and friends with have some kind of a spiritual connection in one form or another.
Mm. Well, I think I've been sort of up to my proverbial in spiritualism from the beginning. I don't know, I suppose in some ways I consider myself quite a fringe person, although fringe is not my favourite word at the moment, for
no,
obvious reasons.
Camden Fringe.
Alan, do not use language like that to me in case I'm provoked to homicide. If they're listening, they know who I mean.
It is now an official swear word.
Oh, well, it won't be after Edinburgh. Well, no, I think in the arts, you know, there's a lot of sympathy towards spiritualism and the paranormal, particularly spiritualism. And people tend, you know, creative people tend to be much more open to ideas and different ways of viewing life. That's been my experience. My blessing has always been to get a fair hearing in those circles. And certainly I've made some extraordinary contacts and friends throughout the years who either took only an interest, oh, that's interesting, or actually were involved themselves in some ways. You know, the underrated resource of the New Age, which is spiritualism in under a different guise to my mind. You know, I mean, yeah, I think people, yeah, it raises questions, it opens minds. I think Susan's entirely right. And it's ironically an incredibly intelligent and aesthetic way of looking at life.
Going on to yourself, Susan, we've briefly mentioned psychic space. What is your, shall we say, calling with that, your ambition that it can achieve?
My aim is to open up spiritualism to people who otherwise wouldn't go to church. Because only, unfortunately, people are, rightly or wrongly, a lot of people are frightened of going to a spiritualist church.
Yes.
I've had that said to me many times. What goes on in there? As if it's some dreadful thing that goes on in there. And so the idea behind a psychic space is to open up spiritualism, intuitive work, to a whole wide audience who wouldn't necessarily want to go to a spiritualist church or would have the opportunity to go. At the moment, it's articles, so we are hoping to put on online training and development circles, live development circles. So it's a part of spreading the word to open it up to, and of course, with the beauty of the internet, you can do it to more international audience.
That's right.
It's not just limited to the 20 people in the spiritualist church, because I feel it has got a lot to offer, and it's not often portrayed in that way. Mm. It's a narrow circle. And it needs to be brought out and about into the world.
So,
Susan, we're on the same hymn sheet. I knew
yes,
we were.
Yes. Yeah. And that's why.
And I was just going to say, if anybody wants to get involved or just even read more on your website about it, what is your website and how can they get in touch with you, Susan?
The probably best one to look at is psychicspace.co.uk.
Okay.
And have a look at the articles there, and there's an email address on there, and you can email me through that.
Good, excellent.
I do have someone else doing the technology side, which is a relief probably to me and everybody else. I don't be going nowhere. And that's the aim of creating that. So, and also to give mediums and healers a place to put their work out there.
Excellent.
Because that's another way that people see people doing brilliant work, but they don't know how to put it out there, how to reach a wider audience.
That's very true, isn't it, David? The internet does help such a lot.
It's a blessing. It's a blessing. You know, when Susan first approached me with the idea of a psychic space, I thought, absolutely brilliant. It's exactly what we need at this time.
Mm. Yeah, it is.
And well, for some reason, I don't know why, spiritualism and technology don't seem to mix. So it's we're all a bit. I demonstrated very well this morning. So it's a place where someone else is doing that side for you.
Yeah.
Alan, I don't know what she means at all.
I've got I can do a reasonable amount on there, but it's crazy. It's like I've learnt to do some of the difficult things. But some, you know, it took me like nearly 2.5-3 years to understand about copying and pasting. I didn't understand it.
Oh dear. Devil's work, if you ask me. I bloody look at a laptop and it explodes.
Believe it or not, Susan, I'm sorry, but we've got David at the moment, right? this guy with his dog is on the way to Highport Corner. David has got to get his fifth empty banana box, and he's going to hightail it down there and do his Sunday morning rant, aren't you, David?
You know, you're really tempting me to do a new rant, because I have my yearly rant, as you know, on New Year's Day.
Yes.
But you're really tempting me to do another one. Oh,
go on, do it.
Alan, no. Right, okay, there we are.
Right, okay.
And Susan, I'll be waiting for him.
Susan, thank you so, so much for joining us.
Thank you.
This interview will be online, and I can put it on your Facebook. And if you want to put it to your website, or you want to throw it in the bin, or take it off...
I shall put it on the website, yes, and Sir Archibald Montgomery deserves his worldwide name check.
That's good. Excellent. Right. So all I'm saying is...
Can I say one thing before Susan goes?
Yeah.
Susan's a gifted, sincere, and sensible medium. This is an incredibly good idea. And it really gives a much wider platform to other people dialoguing in their own way with spirit. It's a very exciting project. And can we please give Susan, send out love and energy to Susan, because she's an inspired person with this idea, and support the project, A Psychic Space. And well done you, Susan.
Thank you very much.
And I look very much forward to being involved, if that's what you'd like me to do, Susan. That'd be lovely.
Of course I would, Alan. Look forward to working with you.
That's great. So we're going to shine a little love with ELO, and then David will be at Hyde Park Corner.
I guess you had your way. You see, I gotta make you understand. I know it sounds a foolish thing to say, but it don't matter, baby, 'cause today's another day. You shine the love on my life. You shine the love on my life. You shine the love on my life. And let me see. Tonight we're gonna run to the. Tonight we're gonna say yeah. We'll never stop, we got a good thing going on.
Thank you very much. You're very fine.
Need some music to move your soul? Then sit down, put your feet up, and start rocking with Doc. Check the schedule for airtime. That's Rocking with Doc with your host, Dr. Dave, only on the Paramania Radio Network.
That Dr. Dave will go far if he took up a living making promos.
Well, no, that's the old gag, isn't it? You'll go far in life, and the further the better.
Oh,
you cheered me up, Alan Cox. I thought I was just going to be in a gloomy mood all day. You cheered me up.
I would just like to thank Susan Griffiths for coming on.
Yeah,
well, lovely wonderful. Lady, what? Lovely lady. You know, so yeah. Fantastic. Right, I can see you standing there. That guy's every Sunday morning. So away you go.
What really puts me off?
I love it.
Dearly beloved brethren, we are gathered here this morning to talk about the notables of spiritualism and their friends. Now, this is someone I actually met, but I don't think I class as a friend like Alan Cox, you know, sort of a working friend, although Alan Cox is a working friend of mine as well. But, you know, but he's a friend, whereas this was
meeting a
wonderful person years back. Eileen Caddy, 1917 to, I think she passed in 2006, MBE. On the outside, she looked like a very ordinary middle-class lady, very prim and proper, dressed in the appropriate manner. But actually, she was intriguing. She was a spiritual teacher, a medium. I mean, that was the time when the word channeling was coming over the pond from America into Britain, and people started using that word. But hey, it means a good old-fashioned medium. A New Age author, and probably best known as one of the founders of the Findhorn Foundation in the Findhorn Eco-Village in Moray, Scotland. And I had the privilege of going there in 1978. Yes, there's no point hiding my age, it's public knowledge. And it was, I would say for me personally, the first genuine initiation that I've been through. She pioneered the community with her husband, Peter Caddy, who I believe was her second husband, who was interested in the work of Alice Bailey, a profound esotericist, Peter Caddy, and their mutual friend, Dorothy McLean, who was a sensitive, I think that's the word you use nowadays, and the Findhorn experiment, the Findhorn eco experiment, to my recollection, began in 1962. What's happened to it since then? It became an example, an exemplification of an alternative community, how to work with nature and live good sustaining lives as individuals, as families. It's the home, I suppose. Now, I think the figures, I'm trying to struggle with dates here. So this is about 2009. The last time I looked at about figures, you had about 400 residents, thousands of visitors every year from across the planet. Some have called it the Vatican of New Age thinking. But I think that's a little unfair, because what we're looking at, Alan, it's only just struck me how this is the theme of the show. Certainly what some of the founders thought it was pioneering spiritualism.
Yes.
You know, I mean, it's what I'm always going on about. We've got to let go of these old, you know, old views of what spiritualism is, and they've got a place in history, and they're tried and they're tested, and yes, we honour them. You know, the Victorian seance room with some widow, you know, drenched in tears, and, you know, the medium with her hand round her shoulder. I mean, they're on one level they're funny, on another level they're sweet and they're endearing. But we are talking about the secrets of the cosmos, not just a couple of people in a parlour. So, you know, and Findhorn took that experiment seriously. How can we work with the energies of nature, the spirit itself, and blossomed into an example, and I'm talking about my experience then, I don't know what's happened now, but I don't think it'd have gone that much off the rails, an example of better living with the world around us. What do you think, Alan Cox?
Right, well, I was just thinking while you were saying that, is why do you think it has taken until now in the time of this planet to actually get to a point where people are starting to understand and come together with spirit? And what do you think it's all been about, a religious power over the centuries that have tried to keep the true meaning of life hidden from people?
You see, I don't have the sort of negative view of religion that's gaining in popularity nowadays. I can see why people are doing those things and what they were intending.
I'm talking more about history.
At least most of the time.
Yeah.
As I say, you know, I think there are reasons. I mean, don't forget, society was so different back then. We all tend to think it was exactly like it is now, but it wasn't. That's the whole point, it wasn't. And certainly I believe in evolution. You know, what our ancestors, our far ancestors were struggling with are not the problems we're struggling with. I mean, what did I say to you the other day, Alan, over the phone? You know, the world's taking a backward step at the minute. You know,
yes.
We're losing our faith in the evolutionary processes, but that doesn't mean they're not there, and it doesn't mean they're going to stop. The positive side of all of this, and yes, there is one, is that we're waking up to home truths now. Certainly religious structures, sadly, sometimes in the past, put the religious structure above the reality and the interaction with spirit, which, of course, will be something they're held accountable for one of these days. And curiously, I don't think most of the enlightened people inside those institutions would actually disagree with that. I mean, they're always saying it amongst themselves. But, you know, that doesn't stop the spirit. The spirit uses churches and temples and synagogues and mosques for its own purposes until it raises us up to an even higher level. That's what all this is about. We're talking about the life essence of the universe in all of its forms. Exciting, wonderful, and heaven knows what glories are ahead of us.
No, I agree there. Do you think some kind of goodness can come out of all this bad that's going on in the world? You know, just the other day, you know, in Nice and that. Do you think it's kind of it's having the opposite effect that these evil people in the world think it's going to have? It's actually bringing people closer together.
Yeah. Well, what was it? I mean, the great poet Alexander Pope. You know, evil is good misunderstood. What the spirit works at is taking evil and transforming at least some of it into good. That's the work of the spirit. That's what spirit does. My worry, as you know, Alan, is that we forget there are very good and devout and wonderful people in different parts of the Muslim world, and we mustn't turn our backs on them as they mustn't turn their backs on us. That we have enemies. I mean, that's just life. That is a fact, because they're saying it. They're not hiding it.
Yes.
But that doesn't mean everybody over there is, and everybody wants these terrible things, or everybody approves. You know, the Muslim community is not sleeping every night in its bed just working out how to murder Christians or Westerners. That's not what is happening.
No.
Dark forces, dare I say, are trying to cause division.
Yes.
And we've got to keep hold of the good and the light, even in the darkest of times. There is no excuse for something like Nice. Our prayers must go to the victims, and I for one am flabbergasted that anyone can even conceive of doing that to non-combatants, to innocent people. I mean, I don't know what sort of mind that person must have, you know.
No.
But anything like that deserves our condemnation to the guilty. Society simply cannot function if we're hugging them and saying, you know, as a libertarian, let me say something. You know, we believe in liberty and freedom. Giving somebody like that more freedom isn't necessarily the correct solution to the problem. You know, libertarians also can be very sensible. But what we mustn't do is forget the goodness of every world faith, or it simply wouldn't be there. and the good people in every world faith, and we mustn't ever turn our backs on each other, because then the world seriously takes a step backwards and does become a darker place.
Yes, it does. Believe it or not, David, we are out of time.
Gosh, where did it go?
I know, it went so quickly.
Yeah.
I mean, you, I, and the lovely Julian Aslan, we've got a meeting on Friday.
Yeah.
Hopefully to talk about the bringing Indian English to the stage. So I look forward to meeting you in person in London and Jill on Friday. Looking forward to that. So... and until we talk again, I can never say goodbye, but I have to say goodbye, and Jimmy Somerville is saying goodbye. So, goodbye.